There's a statement in our gospel reading this morning from John chapter 14 that I just know that as soon as every one of you heard it, you immediately thought, oh, I know that statement. And you immediately recognized it, and you immediately remembered that it's the best known piece of scripture to everybody in this room at this moment. Right? Because every one of you who is here this morning is presently sitting beside that statement from John chapter 14. Especially David over there, actually, because it's on the wall of your church where you come every Sunday, and I just know you all look at it and take it to heart and think, wow, isn't that great? Because it says, and Christ said to Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. That's our Philip. That's the patron saint after which this building, this community, is named. And the thing that, one of the things that makes it such a powerful statement, if you're going to get it, is you have to see a slightly larger context, because Philip's the one who started the conversation with Jesus that caused Jesus to say to Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Philip has approached Jesus with a request that gives rise to this statement. John tells us, Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. I just love and am very warmed by the fact that Philip has this insight. He gets it half right, and later we'll see he gets it half wrong. The part that Philip gets half right is his recognition that satisfaction lies not in building our great kingdoms, not in achieving vast wealth and power and influence out there in the world. Satisfaction lies not in being the most beautiful or the most accomplished or the most talented or the most skilled person in the world. Philip, our Philip, understood that satisfaction, contentment, lies in only one place. Just one. Father, Jesus says, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. That's where satisfaction lies. It lies in seeing the Father. Show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. But it sounds so kind of grand and mystical and a little bit intimidating. We're going to see God, and we'll be satisfied. Well, when does that happen? You know, it's sort of Cecil B. DeMille's vision of crashing thunder and lightning and all this stuff happening. Is that really what Philip is looking for? Is that really where we're going to find satisfaction? Well, I don't know about the Cecil B. DeMille's vision. That kind of thing is a little bit beyond my sort of personal experience. But I do know that I have seen the Father. I do know that in the smile of a child, in the kind word of someone who has spoken to me, in a gentle action, in a kind response, I do know that in a moment of love or tenderness, I do know that in the beauty of a flower, in the beauty of the mountains, I do know that in all of those moments of truth and light that resonate through all of our lives, all day, off and on, throughout the entire day, I do know that in those moments, I have seen the Father. And I do know that when I have that experience, that my heart understands that that is the place where satisfaction lies. That in fact, it's not about any of that other stuff. That true, deep, abiding contentment and satisfaction lie in seeing the Father. The word that Peter uses there is archeo. And it means to know that what we have is sufficient. Think about that. Do you know that? That what you have is sufficient. We live so often in a mentality of scarcity. We live so often in a mentality of not enough, of doesn't measure up, of not quite good enough, of got to get more, of got to get something that I lack. It's so ironic. We live, all of us, without exception, in the most affluent culture ever known to mankind. We live in the most affluent culture in history, and yet we're the ones that think that life is scarce. We're the ones who think that there's not enough to go around and we have to hoard or get just a little bit more or accumulate a little bit more or gather something that we lack. And yet we are surrounded by abundance. We are surrounded by an overflowing, overwhelming presence of life and light and goodness and all of that stuff. And all that is lacking is our ability or our willingness or whatever it is to see that which gives satisfaction, that which brings contentment and peace into our lives. Philip understood that seeing the Father is the source of satisfaction. But what he didn't understand, what he failed to comprehend, is that he'd already seen God. He'd already seen the Father. And so Jesus responds with some measure, I think we can hear, of frustration, asking Philip, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Have I been with you all this time and you haven't seen in me the love and the beauty and the truth and the goodness for which your heart longs, for which your heart yearns, for which you cry out every day of your life? Have I been with you all this time and I still haven't managed to point you to the presence and the reality of this mystery of beauty and life that is living within you?" Jesus says in the second part of that statement on the wall, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." So if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the Father, you've seen everything that brings contentment and life into our lives. But then what about us? We don't get to see Jesus the way Philip did. But last Sunday, we were reading in John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, verse 26, Jesus said, "I made your name known to them," the disciples and those who came after, "and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." So when you look at Jesus, you see God. And Jesus is in you and me. So when you look at me and you look at those around you, you see the beauty, the truth, and the light and the goodness that is the presence of God. It's one of the reasons why I dress up in these fancy dudes on Sunday. It's to remind you This is not about me. This is not about Christopher. This is about seeing through me, through the presence that is in you. And later in the service at communion, you stand, see that I stand on the other side of the table, and at the end of the Eucharistic prayer, I hold up the cup and I hold up the bread. And in Christian tradition, we believe that that bread and that wine is infused with the presence of Jesus. And then you take that bread, and maybe the wine, or not, and you take it inside yourself. Not because you lack something, but to remind you that that bread and that wine, that combination of divine and human, is in fact who you are. Is your true identity, is what lives in you. That presence of beauty and truth that is the source of satisfaction and contentment and strength in life dwell at the heart of your being. And that is what Pentecost is. Pentecost is our awareness that this love and power and beauty has been poured out in abundance in all of life, everywhere, crossing all boundaries, crossing all differences, crossing all geography, and filling all of life, and filling us, and living in our hearts. But there's a catch. The end of this passage, Jesus says, this spirit of abundance, the spirit of truth, is a spirit, he says, whom the world cannot receive or will not receive. The word is lambano, and it really means simply to say yes to. The world won't say yes to this spirit of life, of love, of beauty, and truth. The world wants to hang on to those little shards of identity that we cling to in the futile attempt to establish ourselves as meaningful human beings. And so the world resists and holds back from that yes that God's Spirit calls us to. Richard Rohr was asked once, "Father, when I get up in the morning, how long should I pray?" And he said, "You should pray as long as it takes you to get to yes." When Heather came down the other day, I said to her, "I haven't prayed long enough this morning. You're going to have to put up with no for a while. But I'll get past it, I promise." I don't know if I did or not, but I think maybe I got past it a little bit. If we are going to come to that place where we see the Father, where we can see the beauty in life, we must come to that place within ourselves where we can say yes. That is the greater work. Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, he will do greater works than these." The work that Jesus did was to move people from no to yes. And that's our job. Our job is to help people move from no to yes. Jesus didn't always do it successfully, and sometimes we don't do it successfully either. But if we're going to do it, it's got to start in here. It's got to start with me coming to that place within myself where I am willing to say yes. And let me tell you, that's the greater work. The greater work that gets my shriveled up, broken little wizened heart to the place where it moves from no to yes is a miracle of grace and a miracle of light. It doesn't come easily. I can be stuck in no for a long, long time. Gently, carefully, kindly, and sweetly, God nudges me towards yes. When you come forward in a moment, if you do, to receive bread and maybe wine, if you come forward in a moment, you kneel down or you stand and you put your hands out, and what you're doing is you're saying yes. Yes to life. Yes to goodness. Yes to beauty and truth. Yes to stopping trying to prove yourself. Yes to stopping trying or needing to measure up. Yes to simply receiving all the beauty in life that is the presence of God and that we see in the world all around us every moment of every day when we have eyes to see. So don't forget, when we see Jesus, we see God. When we see one another, when we see ourselves, we see God. We see Jesus living in us. And it's all that our hearts truly desire. Amen.